From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Calling it the best bipartisan deal possible, former President Bill Clinton today came out forcefully in support of the agreement reached by President Obama and Republicans to extend the tax cuts. Clinton's comments following a trip to the White House, where the two met privately in the Oval Office. He said the deal on tax cuts is important for the economy, since it would also extend jobless benefits for millions of Americans.
Clearly, the extension of unemployment, which gives people a percentage of the income they were previously making, that money will be spent, and it will bolster the economy through the next couple of years.
Along with the 13-month extension of jobless benefits, the proposal would also extend tax cuts for all income levels for 2 years. Some Democrats have criticized the deal, however, accusing President Obama of caving too readily to Republicans. As for the tax deal's future in Congress, that's a matter of some debate at the moment. On the Senate side, Vermont's Bernie Sanders spoke for hours today to a mostly empty chamber as he seeks to derail the deal. House lawmakers have also indicated they have worries about the measure in its current form. We get details from NPR's David Wellner.
In the Senate, it looks like there will have to be about 20 Democrats who vote with Republicans for the tax cut package to move from the Senate to the House. And in the House, there would have to be at least 39 Democrats voting with all the Republicans for it to move forward. It's not clear that all the Republicans are going to vote for the package, but there are a fair number of Democrats in the House who seem inclined to do so, especially those from farm states, now that the package has tax incentives for producing ethanol, which is an issue that is very important to them.
The House has yet to have a formal vote on the measure. A Senate vote is slated for Monday. Commerce Department says the country's trade deficit narrowed to $38.5 billion in October. Danielle Carson reports purchases of machinery, farm products, and cars pushed exports to their highest level in more than 2 years.
A smaller trade deficit means a bigger share of U.S. demand is being met by domestic production, and that can be good for the country's bottom line, the gross domestic product. But Todd Horowitz, chief strategist at Adamesh Trading Group, gives more credit to the Federal Reserve's bond purchase program to stoke economic growth.
We've still got the backstop of the federal government that says that they're going to support our economy no matter what it takes. So as I looked at the numbers, I wasn't jumping up and down, and I wasn't crying either.
Oil and goods from China account for nearly the entire U.S. deficit. Even though imports from China fell in October, critics complain that Beijing keeps its exports artificially cheap by undervaluing its currency by as much as 40%. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
As Wall Street waits to see what Washington does in terms of a tax cutting deal, a fairly muted end of the week for the financial markets, though all the major market indexes posted gains. The Dow Industrial Average gained 40 points today. The NASDAQ was up 20 points. The S&P 500 closed up 7 points. You're listening to NPR. A Palestinian negotiator is laying the blame for the current stalled state of Mideast peace talks firmly on Israel. Emerging from a meeting today with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the negotiator said the Israeli government had a choice between building settlements and peace, and it chose settlements. Palestinian officials say they will not return to the talks without a construction freeze. Secretary of State Clinton has been meeting with both sides, trying to come up with a way to jumpstart the stalled negotiations. The U.S., however, did recently announce it is no longer working to try and persuade Israel to temporarily halt settlement activity. The itinerant street preacher accused of kidnapping 14-year-old Elizabeth Smart 8 years ago has been found guilty by a Salt Lake City jury. Attorneys for Brian David Mitchell had tried to convince the jury their client was not guilty by reason of insanity. NPR's Howard Berkus has more.
The insanity defense failed for Brian David Mitchell, who never contested the claim that he'd abducted Elizabeth Smart from her Salt Lake City bedroom in 2002 and held her captive for 9 months. Now 23, Smart testified that Mitchell raped her every day and considered her a polygamous wife. She said Mitchell was manipulative and faked mental illness. The defense argued that Mitchell was delusional and needed mental health treatment, not prison. Mitchell now faces a possible life term. Federal prosecutors filed charges after a state prosecution ended with a decision that Mitchell was mentally incompetent to assist in his own defense. A federal judge found Mitchell competent, and a federal jury has now found him guilty of kidnapping and taking a minor across state lines for sex. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Salt Lake City.
Crude oil futures prices settled lower today, ending the week down 58 cents a barrel, with oil closing at $87.79 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News. In Washington.